You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Time for a Tuesday Locked On Syracuse podcast sponsored by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Tim Leonard and Tyler Rocky going all football on this Tuesday episode. We will have Boeheim's Army stuff for you the rest of the week, probably, and maybe even some more football because we got the ACC Media Days coming up. It's amazing it's that time of year again, Ty. We're getting to positional previews, ACC Media Day. I got my Phil Steele magazine in front of me. It just feels good to be back in the football mindset.
Moment of truth, Tim. Moment of truth for the show. Do you have a vote? Do you have a preseason
ACC Media
vote? You don't? They revoked your vote too? All right. Well, we can put together our personal lists, okay?
Yes.
We'll do that later in the summer.
Right, and we can even at some point maybe break down where does Syracuse stack up in the Atlantic, where do they stack up in the ACC. On paper, not great, but I know a lot of fans are optimistic that this is the turnaround year, and they're believing in maybe that because of the quarterback competition, which brings us to what we're going to start the show with today, which is an update on the QB competition. We've been talking about this a lot. It's been fun to talk about, fun to nitpick every little thing that's been said or every little thing that we've seen, whether it's Tommy DeVito not being named to go as a representative to the ACC Media Days. We had some fun discussing what that means for the quarterback competition, but we get an update here. Dino Babers chats, I believe, with Nate Mink, someone over at Syracuse.com, and he gives a slight edge right now, I guess, to Tommy DeVito. That's the headline of the article. Tommy DeVito has a slight edge in the quarterback competition, according to Dino Babers. And I think he's coming at that from a perspective of he has learned the offense a little bit or has a better grasp of the offense right now. But what were your takeaways when you read through that article?
This was the most notable thing that's been said this summer about the quarterback competition because it's coming from the man who is ultimately going to make the pick. But I also look at it as, was this really a ringing endorsement? Because I don't think it was. Basically, what he said is Tommy DeVito has been in the offense longer. And yeah, no duh. You can do some simple math here. 4 years versus one guy who just stepped on campus. I'm not totally bought in that this was a ringing endorsement for Tommy DeVito because all he says is that he's known the offense longer. He's been in the offense longer. And to me, yeah, okay, cool. He pointed out a fact, not an observation.
Right. So to lay out some of the quotes here, because this article is behind a paywall, I won't read all of them, but there's some interesting quotes. He says, the big headliner, I'd say, is, I think if you're talking about who knows the offense better, it's definitely DeVito. Goes on to say later, we're going to have to see how it settles, but I would say he has an advantage because he's been here longer. Another quote is, I think what we need to do is be fair and continue to let those guys grow. They both have a set of tools that's unique to each of them, and then there's a combination where they both can do the exact same thing. They're very different quarterbacks. We know that. My take on this, and based on what we heard out of the spring camp, based on what I see when I read this quote from Dino Babers, is I'd be pretty surprised at this point, barring a huge change in mindset from the impending camp and the practices that are coming up soon, that Tommy DeVito is not the starter against Ohio. He does not come out for the first series against Ohio. I think that's why Dino Babers is saying this, because he goes on to talk about how they've used two quarterbacks a lot, and it's really maybe overblown in a way, is kind of how I took what he was saying, who the starter is. But I don't know what you made of the ending quotes of this article, but I do feel like when I read this and based on what we've heard, I expect DeVito to come out for that first series against Ohio right now.
I probably would too, but I don't know if Dino Babers wants that to be the case. That's kind of how I interpreted it. I think he wants Garrett Schrader. Now, I also think that based on what we've heard from Dino in this story, I think it's also true that if it is a tie, if it is a dead set tie, the incumbent is going to take the job, which I thought about it a little bit earlier, and I thought maybe if it was a tie, it wouldn't go to the incumbent because Dino would want to shake things up a little bit, and he's had success with a running quarterback in the past. But based off of this, I think that if it is a tie, it will go to Tommy DeVito. However, I think Dino Babers kind of wants the Garrett Schrader experience to at least start off, and then you kind of let your cards play out from there.
There is a possibility that Dino recruited Garrett Schrader, and he maybe expected a little bit more than him in the spring. I don't know this, and again, it's really
potentially,
tough.
Potentially, yeah.
But what we were hearing from Stephen Bailey out of spring camp, and he did some great reporting on what was a very closed-door spring camp, he talked about how there was maybe some rumblings that Schrader was mishandling snaps, his arm was not great, and obviously his legs are tremendous, and anytime Dino's gotten a chance to talk about him, he quickly brings up, like, wow, he can do a lot with his legs, to paraphrase, but it does feel like Tommy, based on what I'm hearing and based on what we're seeing, it's going to start with Tommy. Now, I do think there's a real chance that Tommy DeVito stinks again and the offensive line struggles. And then from there, you have to really have an honest conversation about, okay, we've been at this for a while. DeVito's not the guy for our offense. He's not the guy with this offensive line. We've had success with the running quarterback. Let's try out Garrett.
I mean, what I'm taking away from this article is that you're asking a guy who is stepping on campus. I mean, essentially a freshman to the program, right? This is like you're if you asked a senior for a campus tour,
yeah,
or if you're asking a freshman who is just stepping on campus at freshman orientation for a campus tour. Who's going to give you the better tour? Obviously the senior. They're going to know all the places to go, all the good restaurants to eat at, all the bars, all the parties to hit. And the freshman who's at orientation, I mean, they have no idea where they're going. They're still trying to memorize their zip code on their fake ID in line. And that to me is what Garrett Schrader's at right now. He doesn't know the offense fully. He's been there for what, 3 months, 4 months?
Right.
And to me, it's going to be one of those things where as we get closer and closer to camp and Schrader maybe has picked it up a little bit more and has learned a few more things about this offense and a couple of tricks here and there and maybe has brushed up his mechanics a little bit more, then you might see this race start to tighten up.
Yep.
But right now, I'm not surprised that Tommy DeVito has the early edge.
And like you said, tie goes to the incumbent. I agree with you on that point, which means that if we see Garrett Schrader in the first series against Ohio, that's great news. I think that means he was tremendous.
Or really bad news.
Too. Well,
it is on one end of the spectrum, and it's very severe.
Yeah, but I mean, DeVito, we know, is at least like, I mean, I guess I struggle to say.
We know the baseline, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there's a baseline that we know what we're getting. So if we see Schrader, we're at least thinking, okay, it's at least better than last year at the quarterback position because he beat out the guy that we were getting last year. And you would think, if anything, DeVito would only get better as he grows and hopefully gets a little bit more protection this year. All right, guys, quick break to remind you about the best place to bet on all your sports action right now. BetOnline.ag, of course, is that place. It's my favorite place to bet on MLB right now. Got NBA Finals winding down, UFC, MMA. Also got the Olympics coming up. I'm sure they'll have some fun prop bets over at BetOnline.ag for that. That might actually be a pretty sneaky fun thing to bet on a weekend night if you're into that type of stuff. Or if you're thinking about it, don't sit on the sidelines anymore because we've got a great promo code for you. If you go over to betonline.ag, just type that in your mobile browser, on a laptop, whatever, it'll pop right up. And then you put in our promo code. That's Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Some serious savings if you're thinking, oh yeah, the Olympics are coming up, I'll bet on that. Just go over, sign up for your free account, put in the promo code Locked On, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. It'll be interesting. I definitely think we will see Garrett Schrader play significant snaps, whether it is replacing an injury at some point or just Tommy DeVito struggles in the first half of a game and Dino Babers knows, okay, it's a tight competition there. I've got a guy that can make stuff happen, that can give us a different look in the second half and maybe propel us to a win. That's what I took from some of his comments sort of at the end of this article where he talks about how everyone said it was the Dungy year in 2018. And he was like, yeah, Dungy was great that year. But I think about Tommy coming in on two situations. He came in on Dungy. He says, and he came out and put some points on the board and he won some high scoring games for us. And he understands that two quarterbacks is really important to have because they've used two quarterbacks a lot.
I think, so the way I interpreted all of that is he's not afraid to use two, but he also doesn't want to use two per se. His best case scenario is he's got one guy and he can ride with them the entire time, whether it's,
and
it's
he
lack
says
of
that,
injury
yeah.
or lack of performance. And I think that's every coach's dream. No coach really wants to use two quarterbacks, right? But it seems like he wants to try to commit to a guy, and hopefully that guy is the guy, and he doesn't have to go to the backup. He doesn't have to go to the bullpen at any point. But he also knows it has not necessarily worked in the past, but he's had to use it in the past. And it has worked, but he wants to try to avoid those situations.
Yeah, I just wonder about the timing of the quote, too, because he's about to go to ACC Media Day, and now he's going to get asked about how's the quarterback battle looking. That'll probably be the first question when he steps up on that podium.
And the second, and
yeah,
the third,
and
and the fourth,
it should be.
And the fifth, and the last.
So maybe, I mean, we'll probably reconvene later in the week and digest some of those quotes, because this is fun. It's fun to have a quarterback competition. I think a lot of fans want to know who has the edge, and we're trying to decipher what we know so far. But as it stands right now, I think the timing of this quote is interesting because he maybe heard some rumblings that, oh, why didn't you send Tommy to ACC Media Day? And then maybe he comes out and says this. I don't know. I don't think it's, like, the headline is not misleading because it is what he said, like, Tommy has the edge right now. But it's not like he came out and said, yeah, Tommy's been tremendous in camp.
He's throwing the ball better.
Yeah.
He never said that.
No,
right.
he never really even talked about Tommy. All he said was he has more knowledge of the offense. So it's almost like he was clarifying that all along I viewed Tommy as having the edge, and that's not going to change until Garrett gets up to speed a little bit more.
This was not a performance-based quote. It wasn't. It was all about knowledge and the between-the-ear stuff right now. And I think the ultimate ringing endorsement would have been sending one of the quarterbacks to the media day. And guess what? It wouldn't have been Garrett Schrader because he's a first-year guy into the program. It would have been DeVito. And the fact that he is not there right now, I still think it shows that it's a little bit closer than some people may think right now. So, I don't know. We can do our Dior meters. We can do them all summer long with our quarterback battle that we were watching play before our eyes. But if you had to pin percentages right now, where are you sitting?
I still think DeVito starts and Schrader plays a good chunk of the regular season. And I think DeVito starting week one is at about 80% for me right now.
Oh, you're at 80%.
Yeah.
I'm a lot closer than that. I am like 55% DeVito, 45% Schrader.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. We don't know a ton here. I'm just gathering the quotes and what we've heard. I feel like it's leaning DeVito week one. Week two, I think, is maybe a lot closer in percentage.
Now, one of the nice things, too, there's another article that Nate Mink wrote, and it was, I'm guessing he had a long-form interview with Dino Babers, and then he broke it down into a couple articles. But another thing that he mentioned was that the offensive line should be better and should be able to keep DeVito up or whoever's back there up, and that there are more offensive linemen on the roster right now than Dino Babers has ever had during his time at Syracuse, which is important, having that depth. Obviously, we saw what happened last year when you didn't have the depth at the position. It crumbled, and as a result, Syracuse is the nation's leader in sacks allowed over the last two seasons. So I look at it as, okay, if the offensive line can keep DeVito up, then yeah, DeVito's probably the right call, because we've seen the Pro Football Focus numbers, and even the eye test will tell you how good he was when he's played with a clean pocket.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how clean the pocket's going to be. Obviously, the offensive line can't get much worse than it was from a season ago, but yeah. At the same time, if you have a DeVito who has some time to throw, if you can get him 3.5-4 seconds to process, I think that's a good thing, because you've got some receivers on the outside. Dino Babers is also raving about the receivers, too, with Taj Harris and Anthony Quealy. He's excited about those guys, too.
Sweet. I missed those articles. I'll have to catch up on those, but check out Syracuse.com for anyone to maybe go through these quotes and get your take out there on the quarterback situation. You can always tweet at us at @LO_Syracuse. So when we come back, going to dive into our number four most important pass catcher of the week. We're counting down from 5 to 1. Next up is number four after this. All right, guys, are you looking for a new car part or a way to repair your car right now? Well, I've got the perfect solution for you. It is rockauto.com. Different from the chain store fronts that are often kind of tireless and meaningless exercises, going to those chain store fronts and then getting turned away at the door because they don't have the specific part you're looking for. Instead, skip that step. Go to rockauto.com today. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online now for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com today, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They always offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. I personally have used rockauto.com several times now. I can speak from experience, been happy each and every time. And when you go to rockauto.com today, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Again, put "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, so continuing our positional series here, we're going to, over the course of the next 7 weeks, because we are now, as of this week, 7 weeks till football season. Very excited for that. We are going to run through one position group each week, counting down Monday through Friday the most important players from that position group. So if you missed yesterday, we started with the pass catcher series and the pass catcher position, and number five was Courtney Jackson, so our thoughts on him were yesterday. Now up is number four, and I think a personal favorite of the show, right, Ty? I mean, you're big on Luke Benson too, right? That's who we're going with at the number four spot here.
Number four in our rankings, number one in our hearts, Luke Benson. And number one in Brent Axe's heart too. I mean, the tight end position, we know, it's been well documented. They're not used. And Sports Illustrated came out with their positional rankings, I guess, for the conference and had Syracuse as the worst tight end group in the ACC. And I'll tell you this, does Syracuse have the worst collection of talent at the tight end position in the ACC?
No,
they do not. But their execution and their utilization of said talent, yes, it is by far and away the worst, and it might even be the worst in the entire country right now.
Yeah, I think loyal listeners of the podcast know we were pretty high on Luke Benson going into last year. I believe we had him tabbed as a breakout candidate, and he followed that up by catching 6 passes in 2020. He had 13 targets last year, which when you really dig into his stats, it's just sad. It's just tough to read because we're not saying this guy's an all-ACC player. We know, and I get why he maybe hasn't seen as much, because he's not a pass-blocking or a run-blocking tight end. That's not his strength, and that was never really his calling card. So when your offensive line stinks, and frankly, you need all the help you can get in there blocking-wise, it's tough to turn to a guy that's not his strength. But you said it, Luke Benson has talent. That's what he has. And he has speed in the open field, and he has just a great ability to score touchdowns so far in his career.
Miss.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just sometimes in sports, when you really start to dive into the numbers and stuff, you might, like, maybe if you're on the Syracuse coaching staff and you're thinking about this analytically, it doesn't make a ton of sense to play Luke Benson a lot. But you just have to go off your eyes sometimes in sports. And Luke Benson has scored a 70-yard touchdown in one game. He scored a 53-yard touchdown against Duke last year. When we have gotten the ball in Luke Benson's hands, he has made guys miss, and he's made winning plays. And frankly, we haven't had a lot of winning plays in the past couple years.
I look at it, if you're making a basketball comparison, it feels like he is the Marek Dolezal of this team. He's not going to have an overwhelming stat sheet. But like you said, so many winning plays are made with Luke Benson, especially when he has the ball in his hands. 14 career catches through 2 seasons, 14 career catches, and 5 of them are touchdowns.
That's absurd.
When one of every 3 catches you make goes to the end zone, and like you brought up there, 2 of them have been 50 plus yards, get the ball in the guy's hands, because there are not many tight ends in the country. I would guess there are maybe, what, 3 to 5 tight ends in the country that can rip off a 70-yard touchdown, or even, say, a 50-yard touchdown. It's not something that happens. It feels like he's got unicorn tendencies, and it's not being utilized with this team. It's frustrating when you've got a guy who's got 17 yards per reception over his career, and he's not touching the ball.
Yeah, and he's scoring that many touchdowns. He's 6'3", he's 240, thereabouts, and he runs like a gazelle. I'm not saying he's super quick, maybe off the line, but once he gets into that second or third gear, he can really blow by guys as a tight end that is 6'3", and we never get him the ball downfield. It seems like we just really haven't had the opportunity to, partially because of the offensive line. So if you're making the case for, hey, this is the Luke Benson breakout year, it starts for me with the offensive line is going to be serviceable. And if you're in that camp, and if we just get better production from the offensive line, then we don't have to use Luke Benson as a blocker as much.
Right.
Then we can turn to him as a weapon. Throw him out wide. He's only been out wide. I was looking at Pro Football Focus's numbers per sort of where he starts the snap. He's been out wide 3 times last year. They lined him out wide. 66 times he was in line. I think that's just a byproduct of Dino and Sterling Gilbert and the rest of the staff just doesn't feel like they can get away with taking a big body off the line. They need him to be in there for protection. Well, if you get better offensive line play, then maybe you can actually use him for what he's good at.
And the stat that I would be interested in, too, is how many times was he lined up right next to Chris Elmore? Because you needed a little extra help on that
Six
side.
6 times in the backfield. So I don't know
but
about
But I'm wondering
Elmore,
from the offensive line. Yeah,
right.
That's what I'm wondering, is how often did he have to help out the offensive lineman? Because you didn't have an actual offensive lineman on your offensive line, which is a problem that, barring a catastrophic turn of events injury-wise, will not be an issue this year. Now, when you talk about Benson, I think part of it you're going to see help in the fact that Aaron Hackett is no longer on the roster. It feels like Luke Benson, when you are going to go to passing situations, it will be Benson. And even last year, in passing situations, he got more snaps on passing plays than Aaron Hackett did. So I like to see when there is a one focal point tight end. We saw it with Ravion Pierce, and Pierce had a fantastic career at Syracuse in the 2 seasons he was with the Orange. Caught touchdowns, worked up the seam, a lot of things that I think Luke Benson can do, and quite frankly, I think Luke Benson might be a little bit better. He may not be the basketball player that you got with Ravion Pierce, who you can throw him the jump ball from 5 yards out every time. I don't think that is necessarily his forte. I think his forte is letting him get out on the outside and run. A little bit of downfield blocking to help him out, because that's where I think he is going to thrive in an offense.
So I'm going to say something. I don't know Luke Benson. I don't know anything about what he's thinking. But if I'm him,
I know exactly where you're going here. I know exactly
this is a this is a make or break year for him, right? Because if he doesn't get the ball this year, I'm taking my talents elsewhere.
Yep.
I mean, taking
honestly,
out my...
I'm surprised he didn't do it this year.
Yeah, right.
Like, let's be honest.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they have been able to acquire the tight end talent they have, frankly. Landon Morris, I really like. Stephen Mahar, another guy that I'm sure a lot of people have circled as maybe a breakout guy in the coming years. I think, like, how are they getting guys this good and almost keeping them? I guess Aaron Hackett just left, but Luke Benson, this is a big year for him, because if they don't get the offensive line to the point where he can be used as a weapon and he can get more than freaking 13 targets in an entire season. I mean, his target count and his catches count went down from freshman to sophomore year. Hard to believe after the great freshman year he had, 3 touchdowns, some big plays, all that. I would expect he wants somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40 targets at minimum this year, or else I'm looking elsewhere, because frankly, he's too talented. He's got too much speed and too much potential to just be used as a blocker and not be in the right system for him and continue to play for Sterling Gilbert, who has not proven to ever use tight ends.
And the frustrating thing would be if he were to leave and stay in the conference and go to a school that knows how to utilize tight ends. That would be frustrating. Frustrating as hell. Like, if he went to an NC State who has had success with their tight ends and they put him in the right system, got a little bit of offensive line help, had a solid quarterback, and utilized Luke Benson the way that both you and I and Brent Axe and everyone else on Twitter knows how the tight end should be utilized, Syracuse fans would be punching air. They would be punching air for weeks because he would be back in the conference torturing. And like, he is an NFL caliber tight. I see an NFL caliber tight end. He's got the skill set.
I don't know if I go that far. I mean, I do think part of us, we maybe overhype him a little bit because we're just starved for tight end production. There's something like the pass blocking, the run blocking is not great. And when you look into his pass blocking focus
on PFF, his pass blocking was actually better than his overall pass offense, which is was a startling thing that I saw. They're not
like,
great.
So pass blocking 60.2 grade, run blocking 56.4. It's not ideal, but he hasn't had a huge sample size. Two, it's an indictment on the coaching staff if you're not finding a way to use him. That's what I fall back on is, all right, you've got this guy who is a playmaker on offense, and frankly, your offense has not produced winning plays for 2 years, and he's been one of the few guys that can find a way to figure out how to get him the flipping ball. That's all I want. It's just us to see him a little more in action, because if he catches 5 touchdowns on 14 receptions in his career, it's almost like when a shooter is shooting 6 for 7 from 3, then shoot 15 threes. Like, keep shooting until your number's offset. I want to get to the point where Luke Benson has 8 touchdown receptions on 80 targets or 80 catches. Like, get it to the point where we're not looking at those numbers, and it's amazing how many touchdowns he has per reception.
You would be happy with X number of catches for Luke Benson. What is X?
I don't know, 20, 25 at minimum, I think. And that's totally reasonable. I mean, he could be a big part of this offense. Him and Taj Harris could be racking up numbers next year.
I would be looking in the 25 to 30 neighborhood. I look back to 2017. The tight end position as a whole had 29 catches, and all of them were Ravion Pierce. If you can get a Ravion Pierce type of season out of him from 2017, I'm not concerned with the number of yards for tight ends, because a lot of what tight ends are going to do are inside the 20s, right? So you're not going to see a surplus of yards.
But he has potential to be lined up out wide. And,
exactly.
And he's almost like a hybrid in a way. Guess what his career high for a single game receptions is right now?
2.
Yep. 2 catches. That's his career high. If he went out and caught 3 passes in the first game, there would be a tweet that maybe would say Luke Benson career high in catches. That's staggering. Like, this is a guy who we've been on for a while as a talent. He's frankly one of the best talents we have on offense, and he's never caught 3 passes in a game. He's probably never even had 4 or 5 targets in a game. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's baffling, and it's something that needs to change if the offense wants to roll.
All right, well, send us your thoughts on Luke Benson, what you think of him this upcoming year. Tweet at us at @LO_Syracuse. Tomorrow on the show, shifting gears a little bit towards Boeheim's Army. Very excited to have Andrew White verbally committed to come on the show. So we will be talking to him, probably break that into Wednesday, Thursday this week. So subscribe to get that in your podcast feed. And for football fans that have been listening to these most important player parts, we will continue those. Number 3 on the pass catcher rankings will drop Wednesday, and number 2 on Thursday as well. And of course, number 1 on Friday, doing it all throughout the week and the last 7 weeks here, leading you guys into football season. But thanks for listening as always, and tune in tomorrow where me and Tyler talk with Andrew White.